Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I appreciate, really am honored that I get to speak to you this morning. And my prayer has been this. My prayer for this morning is that all of us will allow our hearts to be examined by the Holy Spirit. Bottom line, that we will be open enough, transparent enough, vulnerable enough in that sense to allow God to show us what really is going on inside of our hearts. All right? I grew up in a church in upstate New York, and so I know what it's like to be at church all the time. My dad was the director of the Christian school that our church had, and so if the doors were open for any reason at all, we were in the church. So I know what it means to be there physically, but to me they're mentally mentally somewhere else. So I'm physically at church, but mentally I'm thinking about work on Monday, I'm thinking about lunch later on, I'm thinking about this or that or the other. I understand that. I also understand being in church physically, fighting to be in church mentally, but my heart, it's like light years away. It's like in a different continent, right? I get that. I'm with you. I want you just to take a moment and ask God to allow you to allow God, give him that permission just to examine your heart this morning. I want to ask you a question. We're going to talk about an important topic this morning. How many of you have been saved for at least 5 years? At least five. All right, 10, keep it up. 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70. I'm looking at 60, 65 years. Wow, it's amazing. So you know then that our relationship with Jesus Christ is a daily adventure, right? It's something that needs to be tended to every single day. I have a question for you this morning, and I want you to think about it. I don't want you to answer out loud by any means, and I don't want you to answer right now. You don't have to do that. You can take all the time you want to answer. You can take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You can answer it this afternoon. You can answer it tomorrow. Doesn't matter to me. Because what I really want is for you to get to the correct answer. All right? Because we have this painted, imagined self that we like, and then there's the reality of who we are, right? My imagined, painted self is about 6'2 with lots of wavy hair, right? People say, "When Mr. Claudio, Glenn, when you grow up, what do you want to be?" I just want to be 6'2. That's it. That's it. Don't need to go any further. But the reality of that is very different, isn't it? Look at me. It's very different. So I want us to get to the reality of our situation this morning. As difficult as that may be, as uneasy as that may be, we really need to dig a little bit deeper to get to that point. And here's the question. Just think about it. Fan or follower? Fan or follower? And I bet you're thinking, I need context, right? Are we talking about Chick-fil-A? Because I'm a pretty big fan of Chick-fil-A. I think I may have veered off into the follower category. There was a Chick-fil-A sect. I think I might belong to it. Let me give you an example. I was born in Connecticut. My parents moved to upstate New York, Keysville, New York. We have 3 stoplights, 5,000 people, 6,000 people. So being from upstate New York, that means that when it comes to baseball, I'm probably a Yankees fan. Right? Yeah. Should I close my Bible and walk out right now? I'm done talking, right? You've tuned me out. So I am a Yankees fan. My entire family were all Yankees fans, except I have one cousin. She's a Boston fan. We dealt with her years ago. She's been excommunicated, no longer belongs to the family, right? But we're all Yankee fans. But over the years, 16 years in Spain has kind of cured me of my Yankee fanism because nobody follows baseball in Spain. Nobody cares about the Yankees in Spain. And so who am I going to... Half the fun of watching baseball is you get to talk to people, interact with people, right? And so I can't interact with anyone. So I kind of just lost my passion. So at best, I can call myself a fan of the New York Yankees. However, I don't know who the general manager is. I don't know anything about the starting lineup. I don't know if they're in first place or last place, if they're on a winning streak or a losing streak. I don't know any of that stuff. So I'm a pretty bad fan, just to begin with. So when I went off to college, in the summers, I would move back home, work, and live with my parents. I grew up next to my grandparents. That was fun. Really was. And so my grandmother, I realized that in college, when I came back in the summers, she suddenly became this big New York Yankees fan. I don't know how it happened, when it happened, or why it happened, but it happened. So I would go to grandma's house in the afternoons, because back then it was pay-per-view. If you wanted to watch it, you had to pay for it. And she paid to watch the New York Yankees. So I'd go and watch for free. She blew me away. I thought I was a Yankees fan. I really did. But I'd sit next to grandma on the couch, and she would talk about who was going to, what is the starting lineup for today? And she could name all the players. And she could say, he's going to start in, you know, pitching this morning or this afternoon, and he's on this streak, and this is his no, I don't know what. And I'm like, who is this person? And then there would be changes in the lineup, and I could hear she would be aggravated. She's like, why did he put that person in? He's on a horrible streak right now. I would have put in this person. They'd bring in a middle reliever, and she'd be like, oh, that was a bad decision. Or they'd bring in someone to finish up the last couple of innings. She just had this amazing amount of baseball knowledge, and I thought, who are you? You are not my grandmother. My grandmother is the person who on her counter had a silver metal bread box that always had chocolate chip cookies and cake donuts. That's the person I remember. I don't know who this Yankees person is. She was such a fan of the Yankees that it dictated her day. So if the game started at 6, it didn't matter where she was or what she was doing, she had to be back home to watch the game at 6. Who is this person? My grandmother went through this metamorphosis change from being a fan of the New York Yankees that she literally was a follower of the New York Yankees. She had intimate knowledge of the Yankees and their players and knew stats that the average person wouldn't have even cared to have known. The New York Yankee baseball schedule dictated her daily life. Well, there are 100 and some odd, 160 some odd games in a baseball season, and she watched them all. And if she was out shopping or she was at a family get-together and the Yankees were on, it was time to go home. See, I'm a fan of the Yankees. Nominally speaking, my grandmother is a follower. She was a follower of the Yankees. Her knowledge of the Yankees was intimate. Her love for the Yankees actually dictated, it kind of mandated where she would be and when she would be there. And fan or follower? So when we think about our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we really got to ask ourselves, am I a fan of Jesus or am I a follower of Jesus? Luke chapter 9, real quick, just a couple of verses. And we're going to walk through rather quickly these verses. If you would do me a favor, just kind of humor me for a second. Because when we're in Spain and we read the scripture in Spain, we all stand up. Would you stand with me, please, if you can? If you can't, no problem at all. But those of you can, please stand with me. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. And I want you to be thinking about, am I a fan of Jesus or am I a follower of Jesus? These two verses say this, Luke 9, 23. And I'm reading from the King James, but just so you're aware of that. Sounds a little funny. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. Main idea, if you're taking notes, main idea, a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm a fan or if I'm a follower. I mean, I like Jesus. I've placed my faith in Jesus. I know him as my personal Savior. But do I consider myself a follower of Jesus Christ? Do I have that intimate knowledge of my Lord and Savior? Do I dedicate segments of my day? Does what God want dictate how I live my day? Maybe I should say it like that. A follower of Jesus denies himself, let's start there, denies himself, dies to self, and finds his life in Christ. All right, real quickly, 3 points, that's it. Denies himself, dies to self, and finds his life in Christ. Go back to the verse 23. And he said to them all, context is important. He's talking to his disciples at this point. He says to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. What are we talking about here? What did Jesus mean when he said that if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself? This is what he's saying in a nutshell. This is what he's saying. It means you need to give up the right to control your life because that right is not yours. We think it is, but it really isn't. When I was a teenager, not too long ago, that's not true at all, a long time ago, our youth pastor, he had this, well, it wasn't just him. It kind of swept the evangelical churches in the States. If you're about my age, I'm 51, by the way, you probably heard it, WWJD. Anyone remember that? WWJD, it stands for What Would Jesus Do, right? So it just kind of swept over our youth group. We had ball caps that said WWJD, t-shirts, we had bracelets, and our youth pastor consistently talked about what would Jesus do. In this situation, how would Jesus think? In this situation, how would Jesus talk? In this situation, how would Jesus act? And he wanted that to kind of be a filter for our lives. Now, when I was 16, 15, 16, I did not appreciate that message at all. I was like, all right, WWJD, I've heard it now how many times? All right, I got it. No, I really didn't get it. I really didn't get it. I love what it means in a very practical sense. What would Jesus do? Denying myself. In situation A, I know how Glenn Clodjo would act, right? Someone says something mean to me. I know how I want to act. My flesh wants to throw that mean thing right back at him, right? Tit for tat. You dump on me, I'm going to dump on you. But what would my Lord and Savior do at that moment? I deny myself. I deny what my flesh wants, and I give priority to what God would want from me at that moment. Sometimes it can almost come naturally if you've walked with the Lord for a number of years. Other times, it is just a raging battle inside of you. Thought life. How would my Lord and Savior be thinking at this moment? Would he be thinking like I'm thinking right now? Would he have these thoughts? Do I need to confess these? Do I need to deny these fleshly thoughts right now and ask God to forgive me and help me to think in a more Christ-like manner? What about my actions? Would my Lord and Savior act like I'm acting right now? Would he? Am I going to deny my flesh and allow God and his Spirit to enable me to live in such a way that it even amazes me? Denying myself. It's not what I want. It's never been about what I want. It's about what he wants. It's about his glory. It's about advancing his kingdom. Many of you raised your hands a moment ago saying that you've known the Lord at least for 5 years. Some of you may be less than that. But whether you're here or you're at work or you're in the park or you're at the supermarket, or you're getting your oil changed, I don't care where you're at. You represent Jesus Christ. And when we're representing the Lord, are we glorifying him? Take a moment. Think before you speak. Take a moment and think before you act. And make sure that it's Christ-like. And if we're tempted to move in a direction that's not Christ-like, stop and pray. God, this is the struggle I have right now. You know what it is. Help me. What I want to do is glorify your name. My flesh is screaming out, I need to call that guy just a horrible name because of what he just did to me. But that's not going to glorify you. Help me to glorify you. I deny myself. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Look back to the text. If anyone will come after me, he has to deny himself. And then listen to what he says. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Context is so important, all right? Look, right over here, there's a cross. 21st century Christendom, the cross for us, man, we put them on bracelets, on necklaces, earrings. We put them on top of our churches. We put them inside our buildings. Why? Because the cross of Jesus Christ for us right now is a sign of hope, victory, reconciliation with God, redemption. That vast chasm between me and God has been bridged, and it was a cross that did it, and Christ did it for me on the cross. That's what it means to me. Put yourself in first century Christendom. You're hearing this for the first time. You're listening to Jesus, and Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. They're not thinking that. They're not thinking, oh, that's right, victory, hope, reconciliation, redemption. None of that is coming to their minds. A first century Christian would enter this building and would begin to look at our jewelry, and he would say, why in the world would you put a cross around your neck? Do you not know what a cross symbolizes? It's torture. It's humiliation. It's suffering. That's what a cross means. That's what the cross meant in the context of this verse. Jesus is not saying, pick up your hope, pick up your reconciliation, your redemption, your salvation. He's saying, pick up your suffering. Identify yourself with me. It's going to be humbling, but do it. That's what he's saying. Being a child of God who denies himself and lives to glorify God will make you stick out like a sore thumb. You will draw attention to yourself when you are not even trying to draw attention to yourself. Why? Because you're thinking biblically. You're thinking Christ-like. You're speaking biblically. You're speaking Christ-like. And that goes against what the vast majority of people in today are thinking. Our thoughts about just basic things of life are so vastly different that it just screams out that we are not thinking like the world. And when we don't think like the world, at times can that bring us a little bit of sacrifice, a bit of shame, a bit of suffering, a bit of humiliation? Of course it can. But you know what? Praise God. I'm convinced that between now and the time that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to become increasingly more difficult, humanly speaking, to live according to the Word of God. It's not going to become easier. Don't think that, please. It's going to become more and more difficult. And we are going to see a purging in our churches like we have never seen before. But praise God. Historically speaking, the church always grows the most when it's under persecution. They're saying right now that as many as one-third of the people who stopped going to church because of COVID will not return. One-third. Why? Last point. Look back to the text. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Practically speaking, we're talking about obedience right here. Obedience to the Word of God. And when we want to talk about obedience to the Word of God, there are a lot of examples we can look to. We have tons of examples in the Old Testament. We looked at Abraham, to Moses, David, tons of guys. New Testament, we could look to Matthew or Mark. We could look to the Apostle Paul. But I think we can do better than that. I know we can. We can look to an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who found his life in what was obedience. carried him to the cross. So just listen with me. You can look it up if you want to. If you don't want to, no problem at all. The most important thing is attentively listening. And we're going to end with this scripture. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 to 9. Verses 1 to 9. Listen very carefully. What an example of someone who found his life, humanly speaking. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection or sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. In other words, deny yourself, right? But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Isn't that what Christ did when he came to earth? Was God thinking about himself when he came to earth? In one sense, he was thinking about his own glory, but he was thinking about you, wasn't he? Thinking about me. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death. I love how Paul just kind of walks down deeper and deeper into just a horrible situation. He humbled himself in the form of a man. Then he was obedient to death. And then, oh yeah, death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen, amen. Fan or follower? A follower of Jesus denies himself, dies to self, and finds his life in Christ. In other words, if you're going to say, I'm a follower, are you denying yourself on a consistent basis? Are you dying to yourself daily by carrying that cross of Christ wherever you are? And if you do, you will find your life in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. For that mirror that it is, we can stand before it, look into it, allow it to work in our hearts and our souls. Allow it to divide into our innermost thoughts, and we can see ourselves like we really are. We pray this morning, God, that you will help us all to be true followers of Jesus Christ, to follow to the letter of the law, to the letter of everything that Jesus says here on a daily basis. Help us to live it out so that you, Father, may be glorified in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.